And good evening. Welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Our fantastic Sport Look sponsors, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, Exchange Bank, and Hamada Wealth Management. Tom Counts, Gus Counts with you. And Gus, we got a great upcoming schedule for our listeners as tomorrow night. We're going to get a first chance to see Jefferson County North this season in week number 8. And JCN is going to be out in Jackson County at Jackson Heights High School. 7 o'clock ball game between the Chargers and Cobras. And then Saturday, it is homecoming for Benedictine. And with a 12:30 pregame, we've got a 1 o'clock kickoff at Wilcox Stadium, the Ravens and Missouri Valley. So another full weekend. And we're going to be talking about how the weekends are going to get really full with lots of sports coming up here on Care. But first, hey, we look back at last week, some fantastic games, and a trend that started early in the season looks to be like it continues. Points getting scored at a great rate in a lot of these games, man.
Yeah, you kind of knew early on in the season, so we always say that you can score a lot of points early, but now these offenses are really humming, and it just feels like points galore right now, right? Taking a look around, like the Kansas City Atchison League, if you scored at least 36 points, you won, right? How about Atchison putting up 51 points on Schlegel, 51-22. Washington beat Turner, 36-15. That was the closest game in the Kansas City Atchison League last week. Sumner over Harmon by 60, and it was the Purple Dragons of Pittsburgh over Wyandotte, 63-16 in that ballgame. Wyandotte, one of those mascots that you like. You know, you look up and down, there are some great mascots around the state. Kansas City Atchison League standings right now. Atchison going to win the league 4-0, 6-1 overall. Kansas City Washington at 2-1. Sumner at 3-2. You've got Wyandotte at 2-2. Harmon at 0-3. And Schlegel at 0-3.
Boy, in EKL, we got to see a great game. We got to see the best game in the conference, I think probably by a long stretch, last Friday night as we went out on senior night to Effingham, Kansas, and ACCHS played host to Republic County. Gus, I'm not sure I have ever seen a game where a team won and its offense never scored a point.
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just something that you don't see a whole lot. The defense scores, the special team score, the offense was 0-2 inside the 5. I mean, if you would have thrown those stats out before the game and you say, all right, you're going to go 0-2 inside the 5, and you're going to struggle to move the ball against Republic County, I'd be like, this could be a long day. But then you're going to get a 95-yard interception in return for a touchdown, and then you're going to have a punt block into the end zone, and it was recovered by ACCHS, and, you know, you got to love when the big guy gets in the end zone, as you got an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Carter Page, covers that thing up, and ACCHS, how big are those extra points, right? You win, basically, by the extra point, winning that thing 14-12.
A great one for Atchison County. The Tigers continue to roll on the season. Other NEKL games, we're going to see Jackson Heights. They were a big 48-12 winner at Valley Heights. Oskaloosa went to Pleasant Ridge, and it was the Rams winning at 34-14. JCN continues to have a nice season. At home, they get by Troy, 22-12. Mission Valley over McLeod, 34-6. And Wabunsee blanked Horton, 49-0. So there were some interesting games, some good games, some a little less close, but it is so difficult to believe and to understand that we have just completed 7 weeks of the season, one regular season game left, and then, you know, we moved to week 9 and on.
Yeah, it feels like just a few weeks ago that we were up at Amelia for that home opener against St. Joe Lafayette. And I'm sitting here flying through my memory bank, and I could easily have missed one. Do you realize that Friday night we're going to see a lot of green, right? We're going to see, you know, that Jackson Heights green. We're going to see JCN green. I believe this is the first time we've seen green since week 1.
Yeah, since Lafayette.
Right. We see Lafayette.
In high school games.
Right. We've seen Lafayette in week 1 wear the green.
Yes.
And then week 8, which is I call it the last week of the regular season, we're going to see a green team and didn't see it in between. So, you know what we did see? We saw a lot of senior nights. We saw a lot of homecomings. We also just, it was nice to see fans back and football a little more normal this year.
Yes, and I would go so far as to say that week one game where Atchison played a really good St. Joe Lafayette team at home and they lost, that team, that game may have been maybe a good thing. You know, you talk about, wow, is there such thing as a good loss? Maybe for Atchison it was, because since that time, I think you learned a lot about your team that day. You did some things. Coach changed some things, and he found a combination that has worked so well for Atchison. And now the Phoenix is going to be on the road this Friday night, and the KCAL is they're going to travel down to Washington. We mentioned Washington, not a bad team, as they rolled a Turner last week. Other KCAL games, boy, you get some of these district competitions. Sumner at Leavenworth. Wyandotte will travel to Schlegel. That could be a really competitive game between a couple of teams who are hungry for a win. And then crossing a state line, Harmon will go over to Kansas City Northeast over on the Missouri side. In the NEKL this week, wow, ACCHS will travel to St. Mary's, and there's something riding on this.
Yeah, a whole lot riding on this, right?
You know, I mean, riding on this.
You take a look at that, and we're going to dive a little deeper in segment two to, you know, the playoff scenarios. We're going to talk a little bit more about the districts, but you talk about a game that, you know, just everything rides on this last game.
Yep. So the Tigers and the Bears. Oh, my. That's going to be Friday night and St. Mary's. We mentioned we'll have here on Care Radio JCN at Jackson Heights. Mar-Hill Mount Academy will travel to Riverside. It'll be Silver Lake at Pleasant Ridge. Oskaloosa will be hosting McLeod. There's another game that could be extremely competitive, you'd think. And it'll be another probably tight game, Horton going over to Troy.
Yeah, so taking a look at the Northeast Kansas League standings right now, ACCHS conference champs at 4-0, 6-1. If you're an ACCHS fan, are you maybe a JCN fan Friday night? Because right now, Jackson Heights is 2-0 in the league, and, you know, if Jackson Heights beats JCN, it's a tie for, you know, league champs, co-champs.
The thing is, you don't want to put on your patch, on your letter jacket, co-champions, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you're just looking at that. Pleasant Ridge, how about the season they're putting together? 4-1 in the conference, 5-2 overall. JCN right there at 2-1 in the conference, and 5-2 overall. Mar-Hill Mount Academy, 1-2 in the conference, 2-4 overall. You've got McLeod, Horton, and Oskaloosa looking for their first wins of the season. And I think that's what's kind of fun about that McLeod-Oskaloosa game is, you know, it'll be a real competitive game between those two teams, and somebody's going to come out on top. So you feel good for, you know, those teams this week.
We have got a lot more sports. We're going to be back in the next segment. We're going to look in some depth at the districts, the potential pairings. Mm-hmm. Some of these teams are set. Some teams are already set to not move on to postseason. And we're going to talk about them, some of the matchups, the big games. We got lots, lots more sports look coming your way here on CARE. Welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE Radio as we dive more deeply into high school football as we get ready here in the state of Kansas to move into week 8. Which week 8 is the final regularly scheduled game, and then in week 9, as they've been doing that for the past number of years, just to kind of clarify, you will have postseason games, you know, for all of the teams, some of them in the state Acacia tournament, some of them just kind of rounding out the season in week number 9. Where do you want to start? 4A?
Yeah, let's start big and work our way back down, right?
There you have it. 4A, we'll look at the east side of the state, and wow, Baser Linwood. They are good. They're the top dog. They are the only undefeated team in 4A East at 7-0. But right behind them, Chanute and the Atchison Phoenix tied for second place. And just 2 points on the average of scoring separates those two teams, you know, from second and third places.
Yeah, so you talk about this week's games, right? When you look at Baser Linwood, they are at Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's a chance they fall to 7-1, but it just looks like they're going to probably finish off that perfect season because they've just had a great season. drop down to the number two seed. That's going to be the Blue Comets of Chanute. And you're like, all right, if you're an Atchison fan, you'd like to maybe, you know, move up to the two line. I'm going to tell you, it ain't happening. Okay, so the Blue Comets of Chanute are going to play Labette County on Friday. Labette County is the last place team, right?
Correct.
They are 0-7. They are negative 82. Labette County, let's just put that on the board. They are going to be at Baser Linwood. But then you kind of jockey around here at the bottom. Right now, it looks like Atchison's going to play Fort Scott, right?
That would, yeah. If it's all ended right now, you know, that's who they would play.
Okay.
In a projection, it could be that, but there are a couple of other teams it could be also.
Could be Coffeyville, right?
Yes.
How great is this? Wouldn't it be awesome if Fort Scott and Coffeyville played this week? You would have a chance to drop, you know, maybe up a line. That's exactly what happens. You have Fort Scott, the Tigers, at 1-6, traveling to Coffeyville, who is 1-6. So, you know, the loser of that game basically is coming to Atchison next Friday night and taking on the Phoenix.
Yes, and with that is an important thing to talk about, because no matter what happens, Phoenix fan, you know that Atchison will be at home next Friday.
So you want to kind of gaze into the crystal ball a little bit? Let's say Atchison draws whoever. Let's say it's Fort Scott because, you know, for argument's sake at this moment, it is.
Right.
In round two, if everything kind of just stays the way it is, you've got Lewisburg and Ottawa. Can I tell you I'm going to pull for Ottawa in that game?
Because?
Because that would put Walt Alexander in Ottawa coming to Atchison in 2 weeks. But, that's just a little bit out there. But, yes. So, you kind of look up and down at Class 4A. A lot of fun games going on. But I think the top teams right now in this classification are pretty set. I mean, I don't think you're going to see Baser, Chanute, or Atchison move around at this point.
No. And here's some things, you know, because this is based on your record. I mean, who else can you base it on? And some of these teams have played different schedules, okay, than others. For example, the number 9 team in the East right now is St. James Academy. And I can tell you, they have played let's call it a highly competitive schedule. And they're probably going to be, they could easily be a road team in the first round, going to Tonganoxie maybe, and then having to go to Baser.
Well, can I tell you? If you're an Atchison fan and you're like, man, I'd really like to be number two, actually, I think 3 works better for you this year, right? Because look up there, if you're the 2 line, you see who Chanute's going to play in round 2?
Right. They have got probably Bonner Springs. No, oh, wait a minute. Let me look at my
Chanute. Yeah, in round 2.
Oh, in round 2, they're going to play Miege.
Right. So,
Miege is a 10 seed, and they will probably play 7 seed Eudora. Again, you're talking about a team who's been playing 5 and 6 A schools all season.
Right, and some of the best teams around, you know, the Midwest. And so that's why I think that, you know, staying at the 3 line, if I get it, at some point you're going to see Miege. I would like to see Miege a little further down the road when you've got some wins built up under your belt. So, you know, right now, you start looking at this classification, the seeding in Class 4A. I mean, things look very favorable for Coach Smith and the Atchison Phoenix.
Right. And real quick, if you're just like saying, well, you know, what about west part of the state? A lot of people here don't care, don't even know where the west part of the state is, but it will come into play here soon. And Bueller, who is always really good, it seems like they are the number 1 team of the west right now, looking like they're pretty clearly going to be playing Abilene. The number 2 team in the west is going to be Wamego. And the Red Raiders are likely hosting Great Bend. Then you have Andover Central coming in at number 3. Other teams around, you know, that we might be familiar with McPherson, their likely opponent.
I'm just kind of racing through maybe some of the bigger classification. Goodness. So you go up to Class 6A.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, I always laugh because I look at the west, and right? So we talk about Wamego. Anything west of Topeka is western Kansas. Well, Wamego, you know, in the west. How about Gardner-Edgerton?
There you go. I was going to throw that one at you.
It is in the west. So if I go to Gardner-Edgerton, according to Keisha, that's western Kansas.
That's exactly correct.
I love it. I agree with Keisha for the first time, you know, maybe in a long time. But how about that? Gardner-Edgerton. will end up, you know, if the season were to stop today, and don't get me wrong, there's another week, Gardner Edgerton going to Dodge.
Yes. And again, the thing is, when you've got, you know, when you've got to sit down and you got to pick out this number of teams, most of the larger schools are farther east geographically. And so Gardner just to have to kind of get that tough rank, not being in basically Kansas City proper, just right off of the west edge. And so they get put in the west half of the state. And by the way, the Demons are really good.
Taking, what, they secured the hatchet last
week. They did.
Yeah. Real quick, we'll just glaze over Class 3A because not a whole lot around here that's going to, you know, affect us or, you know. But you talk about Rock Creek right now would be at Perry-Lecompton. You'd have Holton, Santa Fe Trail, Ward, and Sabetha, Riley County, and Scott City are kind of some of the local teams. Hayden, Hiawatha. So other than that, I mean, just kind of glazing over that. Now let's drop down to classification of 2A.
Right. And in Class 2A in the state of Kansas, wow, looking at the east side, St. Mary's Colgan. You talked about Pittsburgh. Well, this is their fellow Pittsburgh, Kansas team. And St. Mary's Colgan is a number one spot in Division 1 and on the top of the bracket and looking like they might play Eureka. And they are one of the really, really good teams in Class 2A. Hang on here as I'm pulling up my 2A page here for you. Then you move down to District 2 with Wellsville at 4-0. Osage City and Humboldt are the 3-1 teams there. Then we get into District 3, which involves more of the local teams, with Rossville at 4-0, 7-0 overall. Silver Lake is 3-1, 5-2. But wait, Pleasant Ridge is 3-1, 5-2. And you were talking about, you know, great matchups. What if Silver Lake was playing at Pleasant Ridge this weekend? But yes, they are. We are going to have a very clear cut, you know, numbers 1, 2, 3 in District 4 of Class 2A.
Yeah, so when you start to pull apart District 4 in Class 2A, you've got St. Mary's at 3-0, ACCHS at 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, for argument's sake, say the Tigers knock off St. Mary's.
Yes.
Okay, so the Tigers would move to 4-1. St. Mary's would fall to 3-1. For argument's sake, let's say that Nemaha beats Republic County, because we like to muddy things up, right? So you'd have 4-1, 4-1, 3-1. St. Mary's probably is not going to be punished for that game that Morehill wasn't able to play last week,
nope.
Right? Because, I mean, that's
no
just
kind
of,
contest.
They just can't, they can't make up a game that they weren't able to play.
Right.
So, I mean, you're not going to hang that on St. Mary's. So St. Mary's is going to look at plus 60 points. Nemaha Central is at plus 44 points. Here's where the points come in. ACCHS cannot get, you know, the one because just points-wise, they're not going to be able to jump those teams in a three-way tie.
It'd have to be a 46-point game to tie them.
Yeah, and
shut
them
out.
But yeah, and you can only get 20 points. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm just saying that right now, the Tigers are probably pretty well, you know, seeded in at that three seed.
Yes. So, St. Mary's following
Nemaha. Unless Nemaha were to lose, you know. That is what Tiger fan would like, is Nemaha to lose to Republic County bad, and then even at that, it would still, you'd have to beat St. Mary's to get up to the 2 line.
So all of that said, you know, you look at the Class 2A playoffs, and first of all, teams that are eliminated, see, you get teams eliminated here in this, and once you get into these sizes of schools, Neodesha, West Franklin, Oskaloosa, McLeod, MHMA, Riverside, around here, all of them out, a handful of schools out in the western portion of the state. Those are the teams out of the playoffs right now. In the playoffs, you would have teams like Rossville, likely hosting Republic County. Okay, you're going to have Pleasant Ridge and Nemaha Central very possibly meeting one another. You've got St. Mary's, maybe with Mission Valley. Now, the thing that you got to know is Mission Valley is locked in, so they are going to be there. Rossville is locked in to be there. And the way it's shaping up, you could very likely have ACCHS traveling out to Silver Lake.
So the only thing that we do know about Class 2A District 4 is we know what four teams will advance, and we know what two teams will play the one more game.
Correct.
That's about it, right? So, yeah, right now you've got Morehill Mount Academy and Riverside. And we also know the two teams out of the two districts, okay? So Oskaloosa and McLouth are both done. Morehill Mount Academy and Riverside are both done. Those teams will play each other in some kind of a format.
Right, in week number 9. So there you kind of have that. By the way, quickly at 1A, we're going to see Jackson Heights. They are in a pretty good spot right now, and they are probably going to be playing a Pleasanton team in the next round. And if JCN, things hold good for them, how about this? JCN could get a bye in the first round of the state tournament. Doesn't get any better than that. You get a chance to get well. You got to, you know, get a little healthy, get a little rest, and advance to round number 2, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, and if you get to round 2, you're going to, if you get that bye, you would, at this point, look at the winner of Uniontown and Troy. And for JCN, you're probably okay with seeing Troy because you just beat them by 10 a week ago, so.
It is a great time to be a fan of high school football. You can look at all the scenarios. You can still, you know, kind of play a little devil's advocate. You can kind of extrapolate a little bit, hope for the best. And what you've really got to do, get out there, support your team this Friday night. We're taking a break. We'll be back. We've got lots more Sports Look coming your way here on CARE. Happy to have you with us here on a Thursday evening edition of Sports Look. Coaches shows coming up at the conclusion of this program. But right now, I guess our focus switches from the high schools over to the colleges and to Benedictine, particularly as the Ravens suffered just a heartbreaking loss in my mind over in Fayette last Saturday, 30-24 to a good Central Methodist team. I mean, I don't want to insult Central Methodist because they are good, and yet, you know, I have never been to a Benedictine game in all these years. I didn't think they were going to win. And the Ravens came up just a little bit short on that one.
Yeah, the Ravens kicked that field goal late in the ball game, you know, trying for the onside kick to get the ball back and score, trailing by 6. But I think that when you get the chance to talk to Coach Osborne on Saturday, he's going to tell you that it was just too many mistakes, right? Your very first possession, you run all the way down to your very first possession, you fumble the ball on the first snap and Central Methodist gets it back. Your second possession, you drive all the way down the field and you fumble the ball out at the 1 yard line and Central Methodist takes over. So, I mean, you had two possessions that stalled out because of turnovers early on. You had an interception late in the ball game. It just, you know, was a game where too many errors to beat a decent team in Central Methodist.
Yeah, and then you find yourself behind. Benedictine gets behind 10-0, you know, less than a minute into the second quarter. Then they battle back, you know, and it was good to see Austin Buteau with a touchdown reception. Got that 17-yard TD pass for the Ravens' first score of the ball game. And then before halftime, the Ravens were able to roll up 3 second-quarter touchdowns, go into the locker room with a lead.
Yeah, and then they got the ball to start the second half. So you kind of felt good at halftime because they were able to roll off some of those touchdowns. It felt like maybe they were over that whole turnover bug, and this was going to be the point where the offense rolled. And then it just kind of sputtered to get going out of the locker room in the second half. And Central Methodist, a very opportunistic team, and they were able to pounce. They've got a good freshman quarterback he's going to be great for their program and trouble for a lot of other programs over the next 4 years, 5 years, whatever he wants.
And, you know, I thought really the real killer drive, it happened early in the ballgame, second possession of the game for Methodist where they took the ball, as you mentioned, at the 1 yard line when BC turns it over. A 17-play, 87-yard drive. Ultimately, the Raven defense held them to a field goal, but, man, a lot of time, a lot of snaps. I mean, those are demoralizing possessions.
Yeah, because your offense is able to work down the field. Your defense is just on their heels that entire drive. Those guys are on the field for a long time. I mean, it just felt like no matter what combination you threw out on the field, you just couldn't get the answer to stop Central Methodist on that drive.
Big news also for the Ravens. We mentioned Austin Buteau catching a touchdown pass. It was nice to see Reed Levi, a TD catch, and the always exciting and fun to watch, Jayshon Todd. How about that? or the Ravens a two-play 75-yard drive. Jay Sean capped it with a 73-yard run.
Yeah, I mean, he is a
special... Once you got to the line of scrimmage, it was done.
Right, he's a special athlete, right? I mean, he is that player that he gets into any clean air. See you later. Nobody's catching him. I mean, he is a 4-4 guy, and he's going to run away from guys. He may even be faster than that as a true freshman. He is a total spark for this offense. And here's the deal. You don't want to talk about the offseason because we still have, what, like 3 games left. But I think that he's a player that the Ravens could really, you know, center their offense around for the next 3 years.
And still, even though the Ravens lost, they're frustrated. Coaches also, when we talk to him, I think he's going to talk about things like, we had over 500 yards of total offense in this game. Gave up 3-something. I mean, that's a bunch, but 513 yards of total offense. I mean, you're 29 of 42 throwing the football. I mean, there were some big numbers, averaging 5.5 yards a rush in the course of the ball game. You punted one time in the course of the day. I mean, you look at that line, you're thinking you won by 4 scores.
Yeah, I mean, and we kind of talked about that after the game, that if you took the score and the names off of those stats, and you just looked at the stats, tell me who won, and you're going to say, BC, you know, this team won in a runaway. And it just wasn't. I mean, that's why Central Methodist, like I said, opportunistic. You know what else they did? They capped off a lot of drives with points. Whether it was a touchdown or field goals, I mean, they were okay settling for field goals. And for Benedictine, just not enough drives that they were scoring points. I mean, we'll talk about it in segment 4, but Kansas City Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL when it comes to points per drive. And that's because you've got to get something on every drive.
Well, this week, the Ravens will focus on a longtime opponent and a nemesis in Missouri Valley. Coach Troth and his team have fallen on a little harder times recently, but I mean, if you can't take anybody lightly, certainly not at this point in the season, certainly not this team can take anyone lightly.
Yeah, Missouri Valley, who was in it all the way to the very end last week as they hosted the Valor out of Springfield in Evangel. Evangel came away with a 30-23 victory in that thing, but again, Missouri Valley held on all the way to the end. You start looking at some of the Missouri Valley scores this year, I mean, they've hung tough with a lot of teams, and here's the deal. They would love nothing more than to put a shot on this BC team coming in here this week. There were no close games in the conference this week. Baker knocked off Mid-America 62-20. That is a game that we were laughing. It was going to go into halftime tied at 15. Next thing you know, Baker reels off 2 touchdowns in the last 45 seconds of the half and then run away with that thing. Culver over Graceland 50-3. Peru beat Clark 20-0, and William Penn stopped at 38 points this week, Grandview stopped at 38 points, beating William Penn 38-0.
And when you look around their conference this week, you've got the full slate. First game of the day, Baker Evangel is going to be, and Nixon, Missouri, a 1 o'clock game. We mentioned also Benedictine at 1 o'clock with Valley. You'll have a 1 o'clock game with Grandview at Graceland. Oh, my goodness sakes. I don't even know what to say about that G&G game.
At least it's only an hour apart.
2 o'clock, a couple of games with Culver at Clark and Central Methodist at Mid-America at 2. And at 3 o'clock, it'll be Peru Penn. That could be, I think, an entertaining contest also.
Yeah, I think that's a game a lot of people will look at. I'm really interested to see how Central Methodist shows up against Mid-America, right? Central Methodist is a team who beats Benedictine. I mean, do they have that Peru State effect where, wow, I won the big game and then kind of come out and lay an egg afterwards? Or does Central Methodist start to put together a little run through the South Division? It'll be real interesting to see how Central Methodist does in Olathe.
And let me just throw this out. Central Methodist has somehow become the elite athletic school in this conference. You know, men's soccer, women's soccer, both in the top 5 in the nation. Baseball, national championships. I mean, their basketball team.
Women's basketball.
Yeah. Men's basketball is going to be fabulous. You see, right now, Central Methodist is a team athletically, you know, maybe right near the pinnacle of this conference. Tell you what, we got tons more to talk about. We shall return as Sports Look continues here on CARE Radio. Good to have you back with us here on CARE's Sports Look goes into the final segment on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison, Kansas City Chiefs. Gus started off a little shaky, but the second half looked more like the Chiefs that their fans have expected. Chiefs rolled over Washington 31-13 Sunday.
A little shaky? I mean, that game, you went into halftime trailing the Washington football team. I don't know. Turnovers for this team just drive me nuts, right? I mean, and Patrick said it after the game, and that's fine. You can talk about it all you want, but until you start eliminating, like, the turnovers, the Patrick Mahomes interception right before half is the one you just throw your hands up and say, I get it. The kid's trying to make a play, but at some point, it's okay to take a sack, right? 2 weeks ago, we saw Josh Allen take a grounding penalty when he was going to be sacked. Again, you hurt your team by not just taking those sacks. It's okay once in a while.
Kansas City's at 3-3 right now, and tell you what, the road does not get a lot easier for them. The Titans, who I thought were impressive last week, are their next opponent.
Yeah, you talk about the Tennessee Titans, and here's the deal. They've got Derrick Henry. He's a stud at the running back position. And they're starting to get their pass catchers involved. Brown is starting to get a little healthy. You're getting, Julio Jones a little acclimated to the offense. Tennessee is a team who you would have liked to play 2 weeks ago and not this week. I mean, I feel like they're starting to figure out a lot of things. I get it that Kansas City is a 5.5-point favorite and on the road. But again, I'm not going to be shocked next week if we're coming back going, well, Kansas City falls back and they're a game under 500.
Yeah, that would be devastating because, again, 3-4 teams don't make the playoffs.
Not often.
No. Other games going on this weekend across the NFL, it'll be Broncos, Browns, but no Baker.
Yeah, no Baker Mayfield, no Teddy Bridgewater. You talk about the Browns. How beat up are they? Baker's not going to play. Your two running backs on a run-heavy team are both on the IR. You know, your offensive tackles, both of them are out this week. I mean, you talk about a team who's really reeling right now, and that's the Browns.
So does that mean that tonight's game is going to be fun?
Interesting? Yes. If you're looking for an interesting game, this might be one of the few on this week's slate of games because, I mean, there's just not a whole lot of good games this week. But, yes, Broncos at the Browns. You talk about two backup quarterbacks playing. The Browns will start there, and I'm going to get this wrong. I heard it this morning. 30-something quarterbacks since 1999. Sorry, maybe the 31st quarterback since 1999. I'm sure I butchered that stat, but yes. Telling you, this could be ugly. It could be fun. Cleveland, a 2-point favorite in it.
The Sunday night game is going to be Colts 49ers. I can't see where that's going to be, a barn burner.
I told you, none of these games really look like they're fun. San Francisco, a 4-point favorite in that ball game. The Monday night game, Saints at Seahawks, I mean, maybe.
Now, again, 5 years ago, that's a game.
Right, but no Russell Wilson. Jameis Winston's now the quarterback for the Saints. It just doesn't do much. The Saints, a 4.5-point favorite in that thing.
Looking at Saturday's NCAA schedule, you know what? There are not a lot of really good games here. Maybe one. Not the one in Lawrence, Kansas, where number 3 Oklahoma is coming to town.
Kansas could start scoring points now and still not come close to Oklahoma on Saturday morning.
Oklahoma, a 38.5-point favorite in that one. That's a very fair number, probably maybe not enough.
Yeah, if you find yourself at Memorial Stadium for that 11 o'clock game, the good news is you could probably be back home doing anything you want by 2 o'clock, right? Like, I mean, your day is still ahead of you at that point. I just think that thing's going to get ugly and quick.
Kansas State fan is hoping that their team can win the first conference game in way long time as they are going to be in a toss-up game at T-Tech.
Yeah. So for Kansas State, going almost on a calendar year since they've won a game in the Big 12, but we shouldn't say things like that because I know Chris Kleiman doesn't want people to say bad things or write bad things about the Kansas State program because he feels like the media has influenced the way his team plays. That's probably not a good place to be, right? Yeah, if saying bad things or writing bad stories, and I don't know that they're necessarily bad, they're just the true stories, affects the way your team plays.
As a head coach, I would like to think my impact on this team and how they play is much more important than the effect of the coverage.
If you're somebody at Kansas State and you're in the president's office, don't you say, well, if the media affects how your team plays, why am I paying Coach Kleiman all this money? Like, maybe we should just let them roll it out and I can handle the thing. So, again, Kansas State, really struggling to get some things going there. For them, the only good news is at some point they're going to play Kansas, I believe in a week or 2 weeks. I mean, so at least something good will happen for Coach Klieman. But again, this thing's rolling off the tracks fast in Manhattan.
A bit of an enigma here is Oklahoma State, highly ranked at Iowa State, yet Iowa State -7?
Yeah, I don't know. It's at Ames. I feel like if you're a Big 12 fan and you want to see Oklahoma State with a chance to get, you know, into the college football playoff, I don't think they're getting out of Ames undefeated.
Can the state of Oklahoma had two teams in the eight?
Yikes.
Ohio State is going to be at Indiana. That's a Saturday evening game. But the Saturday evening game I'm really looking forward to, USC at Notre Dame. That is a great rivalry that goes way back. USC, Notre Dame's number 13 in the country and a touchdown favorite.
You know, growing up, you always heard USC, Notre Dame. It was a rivalry. To this day, I can't figure out why. Right?
Because
I mean,
it is.
Like, you have a West Coast team against a Midwest team. You've got Notre Dame, who is okay at football.
Rivalry.
Right. You know, I mean, I just, for me, it's just baffling, but it is. And for USC, here's your chance to get Notre Dame at Notre Dame. I get it,
yeah.
Notre Dame's 13, but they've been playing way too many close games this year, and Notre Dame, a 6.5-point favorite, that might be the game to watch. It's going to be way better than that Big Ten game of Ohio State and Indiana.
Now, if you're a baseball fan, there is still Major League Baseball going on, but there may be just one more game in the League Championship Series because they're both 3-1 in the standings, right? Isn't that right? No?
One's 3-1, the other's 3-2, yeah.
Okay, 3-1 and 3-2. Braves are going to be at the Dodgers tonight at 7 o'clock, and Atlanta could close this one out then. And then tomorrow, you're going to have the Red Sox at the Astros, and the Astros can win out. They are up 3-2 games.
Oh, the Astros won big last night. And
like
so,
9-1 or 2.
Yeah, and so can I tell you, I've tried. I've turned them on. These games just haven't interested me much, and I don't know why. Braves, Dodgers, I mean, at least MLB can say we got an East Coast, we got a West Coast. I mean, it's perfect. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I'm going to tell you, Major League Baseball would much rather see the Red Sox in the World Series than the Astros, but
they went the Red Sox and the Dodgers, I mean, bottom line.
Probably, yeah. I mean, that would be the best case scenario. I really think you're going to see Braves, Astros.
Hey, our upcoming sports schedule here on Care Radio is a great one. Tomorrow night, we've got Jefferson County North at Jackson Heights, a 7 o'clock ball game. Saturday afternoon, Ravens homecoming. Pregame on Care Radio at 12:30. Benedictine, Missouri Valley from Wilcox Stadium at 1 o'clock.
Congratulations to this year's Hall of Fame class, right?
Absolutely. Come on.
Emily,
pull them out.
Emily Smith. Jason Weirich.
Very good.
And then?
The man.
The legend.
Yes.
Dennis Murphy.
Congratulations to three very deserving, great Ravens. And it's been a pleasure to have been around all of them.
I don't think you missed any of those three athletes' games. Right?
I don't know that I have missed hardly any of them. That's right. Hey, thanks to them. And thanks to our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Exchange Bank. For Gus Counts, Tom Counts. So long, everybody.